Last one of the year. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integrations with Getty Images and Google Apps, 15 new templates, people, and an incredible feature called Cover Pages. Try the new Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter the offer code FUN at checkout to get 10% off. Use that offer code FUN. Squarespace, start here. Go anywhere.
What the hell are you doing here?
What do you mean?
I thought you were supposed to be like in New York.
Nope.
And, you know.
Not for a few weeks, Dave. Got some more podcasts left in me.
I guess so.
And this podcast doesn't go away.
Dave, we can't get rid of him.
One
I know. This is the craziest thing.
We can't. We have like a million send-offs already.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of him.
A really good cake that you got me on Sunday, which I liked. It was in a football.
It looked great.
I thought it tasted great. I guess I was in the minority.
I didn't try it.
I went to the hospital.
You did not.
No.
Well, it's Tuesday, December 30th, and we're getting ready for the new year, and we're going to do a little season wrap-up here. Talk about some news and notes, coaching changes. Tennessee apparently likes Zach Mettenberger quite a bit. Le'Veon Bell not looking great right now for the Saturday game against Baltimore. Making my sleeper pick look pretty good right now. Dave, I picked the Ravens to go to the AFC Championship game.
Did you?
I did.
I will take the loss of Le'Veon Bell over the loss of two tackles.
Fine.
I've gone back and forth with this game. You want to hear some fun stats?
Uh-huh.
When's the last time a John Harbaugh-led Ravens team lost in the first round of the playoffs?
I'll say never.
Correct. When's the last time the Ravens franchise won a playoff game in Pittsburgh?
I'll say never.
Correct.
How many have they had in Pittsburgh?
Three.
Though? Really?
Yeah. And two with Harbaugh, one before Harbaugh got there.
Something's
got to give, Adam Azer.
I don't know, Jamie. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is such a big part of their offense.
Absolutely, of course.
I mean, they're
how have the Ravens looked, though, without their two tackles?
Do they officially sign Ben Tate? Or are they just going to sign Ben Tate?
We have an update on site that they're hosting Ben Tate.
Okay. How have they looked?
What kind of a carpet do they roll out for Ben Tate?
Slow one.
How do they do without their two tackles? Well, no, not very well. But they scored 17 points in the fourth quarter against Cleveland. Flacco ended up having a decent game. Well, Cleveland's not a bad pass defense. They've been a good pass defense this year. Justin Forsett went over 100 yards, so maybe they got on track. You're right. It's risky because they're not playing well. They're not playing well at all. I was a little surprised Pittsburgh's offense didn't play better against Cincinnati, to be quite honest with you. And now with Le'Veon Bell potentially out, it's a much more interesting game.
It is.
Anyway, how are you guys?
Awesome.
All right, let's go through.
Way, let's see. We are currently at, what's 34 times 3?
102.
We're at 102 entries into
our... It's like 102, I think.
We're at 102 entries into our buddy group for the playoff challenge. So if you'd like to sign up, go to at Jamie Eisenberg. You'll see the link. Or go to cbsports.com.
Tell us about it. Tell us about the playoff challenge. It's very fun.
Playoff challenge is awesome. You don't have to do it in our group, but you can sign up for it with your own friends. And you compete either for a cash prize, which you have to, I believe, pay for to enter. Or you can compete for free amongst your friends. And you can follow the – it's a fun way to follow the playoffs. So from a fantasy perspective. So what it is you have – it's a 300-unit or $300 salary cap. And you are allowed 8 moves throughout the course of the playoffs. So clearly the idea is to try and get guys in the wild card round that are going to make it to the Super Bowl because that'll help you out the most. Mm-hmm. It's standard scoring. You pick one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. Did you set your lineup yet?
No, I didn't. I'm going to do it on the air.
I'm sure you did not, right?
I'm doing it as we speak.
I'll tell you mine.
No, I don't want to be influenced.
So then cover yours. So my team is...
I was going to wait to do this.
Okay, we can wait.
But
you know, wait?
Well, you can go with yours now, and then we'll bring it up again.
Well, mine's public because my story's already out, so you can read it.
Go for it.
My team is Ben Roethlisberger, Jeremy Hill and DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant, Martavis Bryant, Greg Olson, Sean Swisham, and the Panthers DST. I expect the Panthers to win. I expect the Bengals to win. I expect the Cowboys to win, and I expect the Steelers to win.
So after you set your initial lineup,
mm-hmm.
you get 8 moves.
Yes.
So if your guys...
Now, that's not 8 moves between now and... Saturday. It's 8 moves throughout the course of the playoffs. You can change your lineup 100 times.
Right, after the first week of the playoffs.
You can change your lineup 100 times now if you want to.
After the first round of games, you get 8 moves. You can replace 8 players in your lineup. You're not going to have everybody playing on your... You're not going to have... In the Super Bowl, you're not going to have a full lineup of players. It's very unlikely.
Unless you're
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, it's unlikely. So don't fret too much about that. But you do want to get some guys with longevity. I don't think I'm going to – maybe I'll pick one guy that I think might lose this week. I don't know. Maybe like Matthew Stafford. Or probably not.
Right.
But
you also can pick guys that are not playing this week if you want to save your moves. So if you want to bank on the Packers or the Seahawks or the Broncos or the Patriots because they don't play this week, you could set your lineup like that. Say I'm punting on week one, but you could be chasing points, especially if a team – like I think the Steelers and the Cowboys to me have the best chance to make a Super Bowl run. So I would not be surprised if those two teams go very far.
And Peyton Manning,
He's a pretty good quarterback.
Another bad fantasy game.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you guys approaching him?
Well, if you want to get into this now, I have ranking. I ranked every player in the playoffs.
Where'd you rank him?
On my
Like where?
Peyton's third.
On the internet.
Peyton's third. The guy I went back and forth with was Peyton and Russell Wilson.
Okay.
This is taking into account longevity. It's obviously my feelings. I think the Seahawks get upset by the Packers in the championship game.
Well, you have the Patriots going to the Super Bowl too, no?
Yes.
So you have them going the same distance.
I have my,
Wilson and Manning, each playing two games.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we will get back into that later. Let's do some injuries, news, and notes presented by Squarespace. So Le'Veon Bell's status is unknown. He has a knee injury. Right now on Tuesday, do you guys expect him to play?
No.
That sucks.
Yeah. I'm going to say... I'm cautiously optimistic.
And Ndamukong Suh is suspended for Sunday's game. I think that
crushes
makes
them.
This.
Yep. I think that's the easiest game to pick. Yeah.
Well, I think Carolina, Arizona is still
easier. I'll tell you what, though, because we did the video and I took the Lions with the points yesterday.
Yeah, not
I switched
anymore.
It. Yeah. After the suspension, they're going to roll over the Lions.
Dwayne Allen may not play. And I know Jamie likes Kobe Fleener a lot in FanDuel. Peyton Manning, as I mentioned, 8 fantasy points, so we talked about that. Now, how about these running backs? By the way, are there any other injuries that we need to know about for the weekend?
Stanton's not going to return at this point for the Cardinals, so that's going to leave the Ryan Lindley show one more time.
Hey, he threw some touchdowns last week.
He did, and some interceptions, too.
3 interceptions, yeah. Arian Foster, 5 carries, 23 yards, 1 catch for 6 yards.
He got hurt.
He did score, though.
Yeah. Caught a touchdown, left the game with an injury.
Matt Forte, Jamal Charles, they were duds. LeSean McCoy, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell had 10 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Injury played a factor with Foster and with
Le'Veon.
But kind of crazy that those running backs had bad games in Week 17. And we talked about the quarterbacks continuing to have bad games in your fantasy playoffs. So the running backs, a lot of them, Jamal Charles was awful down the stretch.
Yep.
Forte was okay.
He had 3 of 4 games with single digits in fantasy points.
Even Le'Veon Bell, last 2 games, hasn't really been that good as a rusher.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Just thought that was kind of caught my eye. What'd you guys think?
Do you feel like that's... I don't know if we can throw a blanket over all the guys and just say, well, they all ran out of gas, and that's what we saw.
I don't know. I mean, they stayed pretty healthy for a while, and then maybe got kind
right.
of dinged
Charles
up. Like
got
Charles
got banged up.
Yeah.
And Bell, who knows what if he would have ended up with. I know he got hurt in the second half against... Cincinnati.
Now, Lacy's a different story for me because he faced a really good defense and still managed to put up points.
Yeah.
Just like
he's really
the
proven
Patriots.
It over the last 2 years.
Yeah, so...
He got banged up, too, in that game.
Yep.
He came back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he took a shot to the forearm.
Yeah. He's dealt very well with minor injuries all year long. All of his 2 years in the league.
Okay, any more thoughts on that? Or?
No, I mean, it's interesting to go back and look at that finish and see how much that influences you and how you rank these guys moving forward.
So,
and I want to say that I don't want it to influence me, but you think about all the work that Forte's had. Think of the work that DeMarco Murray's had. I mean, Murray might hit 500 touches if the Cowboys make a deep run in the playoffs.
He's my bust for next year.
I think you're on the right track.
But you guys have him in your top 5, right?
As of now.
Let's see how many carries he ends up with.
He'll
Let's see what
50
team he's
against
on.
The Lions.
Maybe.
He'll have 25 against the Lions.
Touches?
Yeah, carries or touches, whatever. And he's going to play 2 games at least, so
he'll have
50
the
carries.
The Cowboys are doing the exact perfect thing.
Which is what?
Run him into the ground.
Yeah, but they're going to be dumb enough to re-sign him.
Maybe.
Well, I think depending on how far they go, they have to. Just depends on what the market's going to be for him. But you can't let him walk. He's more valuable to them than anybody else.
Why can't you let him walk? If you they're doing this smart thing and running him into the ground, then how can you
price,
not let him
walk? If the price tag is good enough, you bring him back.
Well, I mean, I think that's an obvious blanket
statement. What would you pay him?
I'd pay him probably $5 million a year.
Okay.
Oh, he's going to want a lot more than that.
He's going to want a lot more than that. Is there going to be another team that's willing to pay him? And what's the franchise tag figure? Because if the franchise tag figure is $6 million, maybe the Cowboys should slap that on him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they have to worry about Dez, too. He's probably going to get the franchise tag.
Yeah, so, that's a fair point.
Right. It looks like going into the offseason, guys, the Jets have more confidence in Geno Smith and the Titans have more confidence in Zach Mettenberger. Do you guys have more confidence in them as fantasy options?
Mettenberger more so than Smith because I think they have an opportunity to improve their offense. The Jets, I think it's too contingent right now on who the GM is because the coach may be stuck with Geno Smith. The GM may want to go a different direction.
They're definitely going to bring in competition. They're going to do it again. They're going to find somebody to compete with Geno Smith.
Well, they should.
They should, and Tennessee's going to do the same thing with Mettenberger. They can't go into the season with these guys as the clear-cut starters.
Well, they're getting rid of the two backups.
Sure.
Mettenberger's going to be the favorite.
Mettenberger's going to be the only quarterback. Well, Whitehurst might still stay there, too, just because he's cheap and he knows what he's doing. Locker's gone. They're going to bring in another quarterback there, though.
Now, we've been watching Geno Smith. I don't want to speak for you guys, but I know Pete Prisco and I have had the same thought. I think you guys do, too.
Yeah.
He's looked better over the last few weeks. It has not translated in fantasy, though, until week 17 against Dolphins, when he had the best game of any quarterback this season, not in terms of fantasy points, but he had a perfect passer rating, the only quarterback to do that with 7 pass attempts or more in a game all season long. That was his first game, though, with 20 fantasy points or more. He had 31 against the Dolphins. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just need more weapons. Maybe they become more of a passing offense next season.
Right, but that's the thing is I think he needs more opportunities. I think he's one of those quarterbacks that needs to be surrounded by a lot of good talent in order to be a productive fantasy quarterback. Like, what would A.J. Dalton be without A.J. or Andy Dalton be without A.J. Green?
Yeah.
What would Matthew Stafford be without Calvin Johnson? We've seen it.
Right.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
But that's what they thought that they were doing this year by bringing in Decker. I mean, and it paid off at certain times.
Like week
17. They had Decker, they had Harvin. By then, they had Vic quarterbacking.
Mm-hmm.
But they ran the ball so much. And maybe they'd try to get away from that next year.
It all depends on what kind of system they're running. It'll be different.
I mean, so far, all the rumored guys that I saw are defensive coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Rex Ryan gone. Okay, Rex Ryan. Chicago, San Francisco. Oakland might need a new coach. The Jets.
And
I'm forgetting one. The Falcons, thank you. So we got some vacancies here. Who could be impacted the most in fantasy with a new coaching hire?
Impacted which way?
Positively or negatively?
Yeah.
How about Alshon Jeffrey? Because the new coach is going to have to decide what to do with Jay Cutler. If Cutler's gone, what kind of a quarterback is Chicago going to have? There's a guy like that on every team.
From Cutler at this point.
I think they might.
Don't you think Jeffrey is kind of so much of a stud that he's, you know, quarterback proof?
Yeah, he has been the last two seasons. Score a touchdown with Clawson.
If it's a system, it's different, though.
Right. It depends on what type of system there is, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's
I'm not ready to say that he's quarterback proof.
You don't think so?
I think he's close.
I think he's quarterback proof.
Well, look, in Trestman's system, I think it's fair to say he's quarterback proof. Going forward, it might be a different situation. Okay. Any other guys that have a lot at stake here? Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, certainly. You like to see an offensive guy go there as opposed to a defensive guy.
But to me, that doesn't matter. It really comes down to who's calling the plays. What kind of like, if Rex Ryan goes to Atlanta and decides, I want the ground and pound like I had in New York, well, that's terrible for Matt Ryan.
Well, look, I mean, the last time that they were a playoff team is they had a ground and pound running back.
Yeah, but Ryan was also doing good things through the air.
Sure.
Oh, you mean the Falcons were a playoff team?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you'd be an idiot to go to Atlanta and turn them into a running team.
Right, exactly. Which is why I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Well, if Dimitroff stays, I don't think that happens because he's the one that made the move to get Julio Jones. So he's heavily invested in Julio playing at a high level.
I'd like to see a Raiders coach go in there and be committed to Latavius Murray.
How about
I like him.
Committed to Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean.
Get him. I saw a mock draft where they take Amari Cooper in the first round. And
that'd
I was excited
awesome.
By that. Yeah.
Makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did a mock draft yesterday, and Jamie was picking for the Titans, and he took Amari Cooper number 2, which, you know, bothered me.
I'm not sure I have a problem with
because I wanted the Raiders to get him.
Oh, okay.
But I think what we saw from Latavius Murray in Week 17 in the passing game, you know, I think he led the team in receiving.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So, you know, that could work for him too. Love running backs to catch the ball.
Yep.
Tremendous in fantasy.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sperano stays.
As head coach?
Yep.
That's
if they're committed to Reggie McKenzie.
How did you guys do this year? How did 2014 treat you?
I think it was pretty good all the way around. I was in three finals and won all three. So 13 leagues, playoffs in seven, championships in three.
It's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good. FanDuel was very good to me in the last week of the season.
What'd you end up with?
I had a team that finished two spots out of a higher cash bracket, like the next level of paying. So if I had scored like 0.02 of a point more, I would have ended up with more than what I had. But I finished with a team that scored $150. And the most rewarding part about it all, and this is like one of the fun things that I get to enjoy as a guy that writes about fantasy. Jamie and I always get tweets at the end of the year. You guys helped me win my league. The podcast helped me win my league. All that stuff is awesome. But when you go to FanDuel and you see the results, you find your team and where it ranked. And I think my team was 1,502nd out of whatever, 115,000.
That's pretty sweet.
And you click on some of the other teams that finished with the same amount of points on FanDuel as yours, and it's the same exact team. So like, how many people were really using Paul Richardson and Michael Rivera on top of all the other players that I use? So these people clearly read my story, thought I had a good team, and put $25 of their own money on what I wrote, and they won.
That's great.
They're going to have a little bit extra in their pocket for the holidays. Well, the holidays are over for New Year's. Maybe they'll get some extra special champagne.
Yeah.
So FanDuel was good to me this year. FanDuel was good to me this year. I think I ended up either breaking even or losing a little bit on the whole grand scheme of things. So very happy with that. And it was fun. That was the most important part. And I did well in my fantasy leagues.
And you? You had 75 leagues. How many did you win?
Just one. So not as much personal success as professional success. I finished tied for second on Pick Watch for the most accurate picks. Straight up.
Who won?
Pickwatch users.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So I feel like I did. Chris Carter, I think, was ahead of me. Or we might have been tied.
That's cool.
But of the people that mattered to me, I was the most accurate. So I was happy about that.
So Chris Carter doesn't matter to you?
I'm not sure if Chris Carter makes the picks, and I apologize if I'm insulting him by saying that, but I'm not sure if it's him or somebody picking for
him. It could be him. How hard is it to make picks?
You'd be surprised with some of the people on television and what they do.
Eh.
You'll be there one day.
He seems legit to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's probably his. You'll be there one day when you're on, you know, one of those big network shows and they say, "Hey, Adam, here's your pick for."
No way, man.
And you're gonna be like, "No, no, no, I wanted this." They're gonna say, "Adam, here's your pick for."
Oh no.
Yes.
You know me. I like to do that.
Yeah, stuff. I also know that when somebody says, "Here's your paycheck" or "Here's your decision,"
whatever that means.
It's not a shot at you. It's a shot at the way the world works.
I guess I misinterpreted what you said.
And the podcast gets awkward.
Well, you know, it had to get awkward at some point. So, yeah, any regrets?
I just like that you're wearing a short sleeve shirt today.
Okay, yeah, it's
the Ralph Wiggum "I choose you" shirt.
We are actually, this is company holiday today. We came in just for the podcast.
Not me.
We're very committed.
I'm here to work all day.
Really?
Roll up the sleeves.
Oh, man. Well, I
wasn't here yesterday. I missed out on the 200 videos you guys did.
Those are good videos.
They are.
So I had a horrible year. I went to the playoffs in 2 of 7 leagues. I won one league. I think the only solace I take is that I only had one redraft league that I did with outsiders, with guys who don't work at CBSSports.com, and that's where I feel like I have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I play against you guys and the other people here, everybody's
got the
same advice, so yeah. I don't have much of an advantage.
Those are
it's
harder
challenging.
Leagues, yes.
So I went to the playoffs in one of those. Now, the outside league, the redraft league, I won. Mm-hmm. I had the best team I've ever had in my life, and I won. So I do feel like the podcast helped me in that respect, and I feel like it must have helped a lot of the people who listen, and the video shows as well, and the columns, all the advice. So that was good. I was so happy that I put together that team and I ended up winning. I would have felt really annoyed if I didn't win with how good that team was throughout the year.
We seem to have a lot of success helping people that play on other sites.
Yes, yes. I find that. Because when I draft on other sites, and that was the only redraft league that I had that I didn't play on CBSSports.com. And you know, some guys were really low in the rankings in that league. I got Le'Veon Bell in the fourth round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of buzz about LeGarrette Blount stealing the end zone stuff, and people were kind of down.
Where did that come from?
Came from a lot. I was afraid of it, too. But at that point, I said, no, I can't pass up on Le'Veon Bell. I've learned that lesson. We've talked about it. Talent wins out in the end. So
yep.
Can't be too afraid of guys if they have sort of precarious situations. You can't pass up on great talent. Le'Veon Bell obviously has that. The guys who really burned me this year were the, like, second group of 10 wide receivers, the Crabtrees, the Edelmans, the Larry Fitzgeralds, Michael Floyd, Keenan Allen, Cordarrelle Patterson, although he probably snuck into the top 10 in a lot of leagues at one point. They really burned me this year. Mm-hmm. Don't really have an explanation for it. Kind of a fluky thing that almost all of them were busts. And then a little bit later, like the guys that I was afraid of, like T.Y. Hilton and Torrey Smith, they ended up having like quasi-breakout seasons. Hilton obviously did.
Yep. Smith, I think Smith did too.
Yeah, he really, after like the first 4 weeks or whatever it was,
right.
He
Steve
was
Smith
awesome.
Had his numbers early on, and then Torrey Smith turned it up from there.
So I screwed up on that. I don't really know if there was a rhyme or reason to it. Kind of just happened. But I don't know. Is anything, when you guys look back at your draft day and your just, decisions? That
you know,
stood
out? I plan on writing at least a blog on every team that I won with and how I built it and how I made it up. And I've referenced this league a lot. It's a 14-team tiered PPR league. And I went back and I specifically looked at that draft. My first three picks were hits. It was Jimmy Graham in the first round. It's special PPR points for tight ends. He was my second overall pick. I got Jordy in round two and Le'Veon in round three. The picks in like rounds four through eight were just horrible. Ray Rice was in there. He struck out. There were just a bunch of strikeouts in there. And so it reinforced the point that if you can still win your league by hitting it strong with your early round picks. And
playing the waiver wire well.
That's the number one rule of fantasy as far as I'm concerned. And anybody who had Odell Beckham on their championship team will agree with me.
And was he the most winningest player, Odell Beckham? Was he on the most teams that won?
In championships, he was on the most teams that played in championships, so I would imagine that you know he had another great game. So I'd be surprised if he didn't have a lot of success for fantasy owners.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty good midseason pickup. And you know, I bet a lot of people picked him up and dropped him after 3 weeks because he wasn't that good the first 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have more than 44 receiving yards, I don't think, in any of the games. He had one touchdown.
Him.
You don't think so?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Three straight games with less than 50 yards. You don't think anyone
they
dropped
scored
him?
In those three games?
Scored once in the first game. I think, and then the next two, I didn't drop them. So, ha-ha, rest of league. Okay.
There will be more time to talk about lessons learned. And, you know, yeah. I'm going to make tiers for 2015 already. I've got a top 12 already out there. And I want to find out which players were the most consistent. Antonio Brown is probably going to be the most consistent. 14 of 16 games with 10-plus fantasy points.
Who's the best wide receiver in football? Forget about fantasy. Best wide receiver in football.
Vincent Jackson. I think it's either Antonio Brown or Dez.
I'll still say I don't think Calvin
Johnson is
healthy.
I'm worried about Calvin's injury. Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem as fast to me. He seems like he's kind of lumbering. But if he's healthy, he's still the best. But I worry about his health.
Obviously. I already regret ranking him in my top 10. Like, I've got to put out this top 12, and he's in there.
I don't think you should. He's caught two touchdowns in week 17.
He's still a top five receiver for me, and I'll take him over Beckham still. I know that's going to be an unpopular choice, but I'll still do it because if he's healthy, he's the best.
Odell Beckham will be one of the
most interesting guys. Who do you like better between Calvin and
Dez? Dez.
I think I'm there. I think I'd rather have Dez than Calvin.
But it's contingent on Dez getting paid. If Dez gets paid, I'm not going to like Dez as much.
Well, here's the thing about Dez and Calvin. Forget about the paycheck thing. I feel like that argument is sort of similar to Jimmy Graham and Gronkowski, and where I thought Gronkowski was obviously better on a per game basis.
When he's healthy, he's the best.
But
by
I
far.
Thought Graham would have more health than Gronkowski. Didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, Graham actually was more banged up than Gronkowski.
Yeah, and so I think Calvin Johnson is still capable of being the Gronk of the position. Not quite, because there are more good receivers than there are tight ends. I still think he's capable of being the best. Really one of the best fantasy player, you know, because he's just amazing when he's healthy. But the last 2 years have been worrisome. So I'm sure that will
be
reflected in your rankings.
I also think the number one decision people are going to have to make before they go into their drafts is whether or not they want to go with a stud running back early or let me start over. I think the decision people have to make is how interested they are in just grabbing as many running backs as they can throughout a draft. And we got to come up with a name for just going like all in on running backs for all your bench spots and everything and just getting studs at all the other positions.
I don't
You call it the zero RB theory, call it whatever you want.
I don't think the zero RB worked this year.
I don't know if it did.
There's
no chance it worked because the people that they were gravitating toward were Toby Gerhard, Ben Tate, Rashad Jennings.
No, but the beauty of that theory is that you draft 7 or 8 running backs.
Yeah, but other people are drafting running backs,
but it's
too.
Also, though, you took Calvin, who stunk for the early part of the season. Mm-hmm. Julio didn't play well in the middle part of the season and got hurt. A.J. Green was a horror show for a good portion of the early part of the season. Mm-hmm. All these receivers that were supposed to be the key to your success, because I did it in a couple leagues, not waiting 6 rounds to take a running back, but I took, you know, 2 receivers and a tight end a lot of times. Mm-hmm.
And those teams
it was
didn't
awful.
Do well.
They were awful. Yeah. All those teams were awful.
And the stud running backs.
I didn't
backs,
do it purposely because I was trying to avoid running backs. I did it where I picked and the players that were available.
The stud running backs did pretty well this year. They really did.
Yeah, of course. Forte was great.
Macy, Forte, Charles.
Charles was great for the good portion of the season.
Lynch, Foster.
Bell.
Adrian Peterson.
McCoy was a borderline
McCoy was
bust.
The – right.
Peterson was obviously a huge bust. Monte Ball, to me, was the biggest bust.
Yeah. Will that affect whether or not you draft C.J. Anderson next year?
No. Because you know what? Monte Ball didn't really have – that much success last year. I guess I have to go back and look at his numbers.
Oh, no, he didn't.
But C.J. Anderson was
C.J. Anderson went nuts.
He also took advantage of the schedule, and they committed more to the run with C.J. Anderson.
Yeah. It might make me hesitate, because C.J. Anderson...
Monte Ball still had 2 very good games in the early part of the season.
I have to disagree.
I thought one of them was just so-so.
He scored
a
touchdown in the first one.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
It won't take me long.
Well, look, he was under 4 yards per carry.
Yeah, they weren't running the ball well early in the season.
They did have tough matchups. But you know what? We thought they had tough matchups. You look back, he had the Seahawks and the Cardinals, very tough. He also had the Chiefs. And
he might have been hurt by then.
And the Chiefs, you know, they stink.
No, he played in the Seahawks game.
I got it right here.
He played 4 games, right?
He had 14 carries for 38 yards against Seattle. Week 1, 13 fantasy points.
Against
scored.
Two.
Indianapolis at home.
Week 2, but he didn't have
Kansas City
at home. Yards per carry.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
His yards per carry was great in week 2 against Kansas City. He had 60 yards on 12 carries.
Okay.
Only 8 fantasy points. And then he only played in 2 other games, and he had 1 fantasy
one
point.
One was Seattle, one was Arizona, right?
Right.
Right. So
and Arizona, 6 carries, 7 yards, 2 catches, 11 yards.
That might have been the game he got hurt.
2 good matchups, 2 bad matchups when you look back.
Here's the average draft position from last year. You want the whole thing? You want running backs?
Well, let's go the first couple rounds.
Okay. So the first round was McCoy 1. Charles 2, Peyton 3. Good luck with that.
Peterson, got you to the playoffs.
Peterson 4.
He got you to the playoffs, and then he cost you the playoffs.
Peterson 4,
mm-hmm.
Forte 5, Calvin 6, Breeze 7, Lacy 8, Rogers 9, Graham 10, Demarius 11, DeMarco 12. So of those first 12, McCoy was a bust. Charles was fine. Peyton was fine. Peterson was... I don't call him a bust because of what happened.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
I call him a bust because of what happened.
Forte.
But it's nothing that fantasy owners could have ever
you couldn't predict
expected.
That. Forte was fine. Calvin was a bust. Breeze was a bust. Lacy was great. Rogers was great. Graham was great. Demarius? Bust?
No, I wouldn't quite say it was a bust, especially in PPR.
Fine leagues. For where he was?
Fine probably he was. More like a early second round pick, but yeah.
Fine for where he was, fine. DeMarco was amazing. You want next one?
Next round.
13, Monte Ball was a bust. 14, this I put squarely on my shoulders as an awful decision. Marshawn Lynch, 14, was amazing. Dez was amazing. Gio at 16 was a bust. A.J. Green, 17, bust?
I'd say so.
I agree. Julio, 18, bust? Really had only a few good games.
You know, the funny thing is...
What did you
I know
call Demarius Thomas?
I said he was
perfect
fine for
where
he was.
11.
He was better than that.
I disagree.
He was the second best receiver in fantasy.
Yeah, but it was very boom or bust. He went through
stretches. Averaged 13.9 fantasy points per game. He did have he had 3 really huge games. He had a lot of 10s and 11s and 12s.
Yeah, that's
was,
the thing.
I don't have
a
problem with good
that.
For where he was.
I think he's fine as a number one receiver.
Here's the thing about Julio. That one game he had against the Packers won so many people a huge playoff
31
game.
Points, yeah.
Sure, but then he was done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, no, he went over 100 yards.
Yeah, he gave you a 10
2 weeks later.
2 weeks later, right? Yeah. Then he got hurt. I wouldn't quite call him a bust.
Okay, so he's fine for where he was. Marshall, 19, was a bust. Stafford, at 20, was a bust. Martin, at 21, was a bust.
Stafford, 20. People went crazy on quarterbacks, as always.
Jordy, at 22,
was 21, I'm sorry.
Martin, Doug Martin.
Doug
bust.
Martin.
Jordy Nelson, at 22, was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Alfred Morris, 23.
Pretty much a bust.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and then listen to these next three picks. Unbelievable steals. 24, Arian Foster. 25, Le'Veon Bell. 26, Antonio Brown.
And then the steal of all steals comes like five picks later with Rob Gronkowski.
Not even in the top 30. 27 was Julius Thomas. 28, another bust, Zach Stacy. 29, a steal, Alshon Jeffrey. 30, I'd say good, Andre Ellington.
Can we learn something from this? Or that we overrated injury-prone players?
Or no, because
maybe
Foster
underrated
had
is the better
underrated.
Word.
Oh, we underrated
Foster.
Them.
Right.
It did, yeah.
Again. Foster, Lynch, Gronk, those are three players right off the bat that we were worried
Lynch,
about.
And Murray. Lynch wasn't
Murray
injury
was the fourth.
Risk. It was carry risk.
No, but what happens with carry risk? You break down.
Then it just starts to turn into.
But I don't want to say that I learned that lesson because next year it could be we invest too much in injury risk guys and then they have bad years and get hurt.
Here, I'll go through 36. 31 was Cobb, obviously amazing value.
Very good.
32 was the steal of the draft, Rob Gronkowski. 33 was Brady. 34 was Luck, another steal. 35, Fitzgerald. 36, Reggie Bush. So of those 36 players, more bust than good.
You think so?
Yeah, feels like it.
It seems pretty close.
It seems close to 50-50.
Yeah. That's how it works. Wire is important.
This next round wasn't much better.
No, this is
rounds
where it gets
four
tough.
And five is when it was a real albatross.
I think you got to just...
I'm just scanning it right now.
Skew towards young people.
Roddy White was great at 46. Joik Bell was great at 53.
Joik Bell was great, but it tested your patience.
Yeah.
He wasn't great until the end. He finished strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Sanders was great at 58.
Yep.
The Seahawks DST at 60.
That's weird.
Where did Jeremy Hill get drafted?
He was a round nine pick from the team that the 14-team... PPR league that I'm in. He was mine. Carried him all year.
Yeah, I'm just still scanning this. T.Y. Hilton was amazing at 75.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Maclin at 77.
Man. Skipped over Ben Tate at 64.
All right, guys. Today's podcast brought to you by Squarespace.
Jeremy Hill, 131.7.
Russell Wilson at 87.
Squarespace. You can easily create your own website or online portfolio. So this might be the last time I tell you about Squarespace for a while. So listen, get on there right now. Use the offer code FUN. You'll get 10% off of an already very cheap product. It starts at just $8 a month, and you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And it's getting better and better with the new Squarespace 7 interface that's got a Google Apps integration, a Getty Images partnership, 15 new templates, and that feature, cover pages. It's going to look good on every device, every time, your computer, your laptop, your phone, whatever it is. Computers are laptops, but your tablet as well. So you get a free trial with no credit card required if you sign up today. And again, that offer code is FUN to get 10% off. Throughout the year, people have tweeted us. This is my website. I use Squarespace. It looks awesome. And we've checked it out and we've been very impressed. So get on there. Squarespace has supported our podcast for the entire fall. Not just ours, not just this fantasy football one, but all of our CBSSports.com podcasts. So we're very thankful to Squarespace. That's Squarespace, Dave. Start here. Go anywhere. What'd you say?
I said go anywhere.
Let's get into the weekly stuff, the daily stuff. We got two games to talk about. We got FanDuel, obviously, which has also been supporting our podcast. And this is a great time to play FanDuel, people. You can't play your standard fantasy football league, so get on there and do FanDuel. And we've got some advice for you. Jamie's got a column. David, you're gonna do a lineup as
I've
well.
I've already done it.
Oh, you did it. Good.
I don't know if I like it, but I've done it.
Well, let's go through our lineups then. Dave, you want to start?
Sure. Now, remember, with FanDuel, it's all 1 week, so it's a totally different strategy than with the playoff challenge game that CBS has. It's mm-hmm. fun because it allows you can have two different teams, two different strategies, two different game plans, and you can win money doing it both ways. I think Detroit's going to throw a lot against Dallas. I just think that that's how it's going to end up being for the Lions. So I put Matthew Stafford in at quarterback. I like the value. I think he was 8,000. If I look at it again, I can tell you exactly what he was. Yes, he was 8,000.
By comparison, I think Luck is what, like 9,700?
Right, Luck is the most expensive player on the board at 9,700. Yeah, so I think Stafford will throw a lot. I'll take him. I paired him with Calvin. The first three guys I put on my team were Stafford, Calvin, and Dez Bryant.
Okay.
So I'm looking for studs there. And then the rest of my team kind of had to go cheap most of the other spots. I thought Owen Daniels was an interesting value at 5,000 at tight end. Playing against Pittsburgh, how bad they've been against tight ends, it's pretty well documented. I went Bengals at DST and Bengals at kicker just because they were cheap. And part of me thinks Cincinnati can beat Indianapolis, and I'm going to pick them.
That's
to beat
funny.
Indianapolis.
You're picking them, right, Jamie? And Pete's picking them. I think you guys are insane. I think Indianapolis is going to crush them. And A.J. Green might not play.
That would change. That would change the pick. If A.J. Green ends up not playing, of course that would change my pick. Mm-hmm. Wheaton is my third receiver just because he was cheap. My running backs are Hill and Forsett. Both of them, Hill's at 7,400, Forsett at 7,000.
All right, then. Jamie, your team.
Yeah, I think the Steelers are going to throw at will against the Ravens, especially if Le'Veon Bell's hurt. So I went with Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Martavis Bryant. First two guys I put in my lineup were Jeremy Hill and DeMarco Murray, because I think the reason the Bengals beat the Colts is because of Jeremy Hill. And I think DeMarco Murray runs all over the Lions, especially with Sue out. So I spent money on him, and I spent money on Antonio Brown because the Ravens can't stop him. I went with Cole Beasley as my third receiver, same reason for what Dave was talking about, cheap. Same reason I went with Martavis Bryant. So I went cheap at the two second and third receiver spots. I think Kobe Fleener has a big day against the Bengals. They've struggled with tight ends, and he's played well when Dwayne Allen's been less than 100%. And like Dave, I went with the Bengals kicker and defense.
Well, that was very, very quick. I'm going to change my tight end from Dwayne Allen to Owen Daniels. I believe they are the same price.
And they are.
I still have $500 left, so.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know where I can put that toward.
I'm going Tony Romo, pairing him up with Dez Bryant, Jeremy Hill, and Jonathan Stewart. I think Torrey Smith's going to have a good game. And I needed a low-cost receiver, so I went Martavis Bryant, Owen Daniels, Justin Tucker, and the Carolina DST. So who are your DSTs?
Cincinnati.
Same.
See, I just think Carolina DST is... There are two players that seem to me like a lot better than the rest of their position this week. Carolina DST and Greg Olsen.
Yeah, very true.
None of us have Greg Olsen.
No, but he's very expensive.
Yeah, very expensive. Maybe not a lot better, because I think, you guys, Fleener is a really good pick, and then Dave and I kind of went shopping for bargains there with Owen Daniels.
You know, I can actually upgrade from Owen Daniels to Kobe Fleener. I have enough money
in
my budget. So I'm doing that.
All right, so if Dwayne Allen plays, I think I'll go Daniels. And, well, what do you guys think? What happens to Fleener if Dwayne Allen plays?
I think he's still
relevant.
I think he's still very relevant. I don't know how much they're going to go on Allen. Think about how he did when he came back a couple weeks ago.
He scored the one touchdown in the
second
game.
That's it. He really, I don't think he caught three passes outside of that.
All right,
he was
well,
2 for 16.
Let's hope he doesn't play so I can, add Kobe Fleener.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun. All right, now, shall we talk playoff challenge? Let's do some picks. Baltimore, -3.5. Now it's down to -3 in some places. Let's go -3.5. Hosting Baltimore. Pittsburgh's
-3.5.
Hosting Baltimore. What do you think?
Boy, I sure want to take Baltimore +3.5.
Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers with the points. I think they win this game. I think they're a better team. I think their defense showed something last week against the suspect offensive line in terms of pass defense, and that's where the Ravens are right now without Wagner and with Monroe banged up. So I think they're going to get after Flacco and make things tough on him. They've been great at home for the majority of the season outside of when they're facing New Orleans. And so
and Tampa Bay. Well, outside of the NFC South.
Outside of the NFC
right.
South. I think they win this game. I think they're a better team.
I think they win too. The question is can they win it by 4 or more? I'm worried about what that offense will look like without Le'Veon Bell on the field. And sure, Roethlisberger can throw at will and do all that stuff. The Baltimore pass rush should not be underrated, and they're getting Haloti Ngata back. So they're going to be in Roethlisberger's face. I think the key is how the Steelers' defense has progressed. And because they're taking on a Baltimore team that for a half looked terrible against Cleveland, they really had to get it together in the second half.
They look bad for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. That's why I feel the most confident in Pittsburgh. That's why I'm not calling for the upset in this game. I don't think their offensive line is good enough, and I think Roethlisberger can make enough plays to carry it. But I think it'll be a close game, and these are typically close games between these teams. So that's why I think if I can get 3.5 points, I'll take it with Baltimore. I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins, but it's going to be very close.
Well, and the line's going down to 3, so that means
if it ends up being 2.5, then I'm going to slide back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, people are obviously picking Baltimore, which is interesting. Baltimore's just not playing well, and I feel like I have this hope that they're going to turn it on in the playoffs like they always do, but maybe I'm being really stupid about it. But I'll take Baltimore.
We've seen it.
Yeah, you have them beating the Seahawks in Seattle for the Super Bowl. You actually have moved the venue yes. because you think Baltimore's so good.
Now, I think they're going to beat the Steelers, and then I think they're going to beat the Patriots. I think the Patriots are the one team that can't take advantage of Baltimore's weakness, which is their secondary. They can't get downfield. So Baltimore just kind of has New England's number in the playoffs. It's a huge, bold prediction, but there it is. All right, so
you're calling Baltimore to win the AFC or
no,
just make
lose
the AFC
to Denver.
Conference championship?
Lose to Denver, who also is not playing that well right now.
Right.
Doesn't really make much sense.
All right,
but
so that's that game.
Stupid.
Which team in the AFC is playing the best right now?
The Patriots.
Are they?
Yes.
They are?
Yes. Why?
They look good to you the last 2 weeks?
Well, you throw out last week.
I don't
week.
Care about last week.
They look good in a half?
No,
but the Jets always play them tough 2 weeks ago, and then
I would say they're playing the best, but I don't think they're playing great.
They struggled against the Jets at home
as
on the Thursday night, and then they started crushing everyone. Right
as
after
Pete
that.
Said, there's no dominant team right now.
Pittsburgh's playing the best.
Are they?
I think they are.
Without Le'Veon?
Well, they were playing the best.
All right,
the defense
so
had made the most progress.
You guys are both taking Pittsburgh to win the game.
I'm taking Pittsburgh to win,
yep.
But I like getting the 3.5 points.
All right, I like Baltimore both. Cincinnati, Indianapolis, you guys are both taking Cincinnati upset. I think Indianapolis covers. Let me see the spread. What was it, 4.5?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Indianapolis covers. I think they win easily. Oh, whoa. It opened at -6 and then went down to 4.5.
Mm-hmm. So a lot
good.
Of money coming
in. I don't know if I'd take the -6, but I will take the -4.5. To the NFC. Carolina, 4.5-point favorites. They are now 5.5-point favorites. They open at 4.5. Yeah, I think they're going to kill Arizona. What do you guys think?
They're playing great.
They are playing great, and I just think that they'll put them away in the second half. I bet it's close for a half.
Yeah.
Do you have lines for, like, the halftime line or whatever it is, like the first half?
I don't see
like,
that
I might
here.
Take Arizona for the first half of the
oh,
game.
Oh, first half. I'll tell you in a second.
I bet it's like Carolina -2.
Meanwhile, Detroit, Dallas. Do we all like Dallas?
We all like Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't before the Sue suspension, but now it makes it much easier.
The first half line is -3.
Yeah, I would take Arizona in the first half, but I think Carolina pulls away in the second half.
Now,
I have a good beat on this Panthers team.
Yeah, you do.
I think going to Seattle or Green Bay in the second round is just too much for them.
So let's go to the NFC and go Green Bay hosting Dallas.
Green Bay wins a fun game.
Dallas wins a fun game.
I'll say Green Bay, but I really can't argue that. Dallas is 8-0 on the road. 4 of the last 5 teams to do that have gone to the Super Bowl.
When was the last time they were playing from behind?
Who says they will be?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they will, but when's the last time they were playing from behind?
Last week they were down 7-3, I think. Right? Yeah, DeSean Jackson had that touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
They were behind at the Giants. It looked like the Giants were going to win that game, and then the Cowboys had a great second half. I don't really remember other instances. So how about the Seahawks hosting the Panthers?
Seattle wins easy.
Seattle wins easy.
And NFC Championship game, Seattle versus Green Bay or Dallas? And it's in Seattle.
Seattle.
Green Bay wins.
Me too. I got
Rodgers. Rodgers makes up for his mistake from week 1.
I don't think they have the defense.
Lacy's playing a lot better now than he was at the start of the season.
Yep.
He'll run against
anyone. The offensive line's playing better. Key is his calf. If his calf is shot, then forget it.
Yeah.
Did it look shot when he came back in?
Didn't look great.
It did look shot. I mean,
he's
he only threw 22
now.
Passes.
Right.
Against the Lions. Okay, so let's go to the AFC. You guys have Pittsburgh facing Denver.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's luck runs out.
Yep, Denver wins.
And you have New England facing Cincinnati.
Blowout. New England.
That's ridiculous, yeah. New England's going to blow out Indianapolis
or Cincinnati. Or Baltimore.
I think they're going to play Baltimore, and I don't think they're going to blow out Baltimore.
I think they beat Baltimore.
I think the Baltimore gets the upset win. See, the thing is, it's just so easy this year to pick all the favorites. You're at least taking Dallas to go to Cincinnati. But I feel like something had to happen, so I'm putting it on Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys have New England, Denver?
Yep.
And New England winning?
Yep.
Dave?
I've got New England winning. And it'll all come down to Peyton making a mistake.
And I got Denver beating Baltimore. And I've got Green Bay beating Denver.
I've got Seattle repeating over New England.
Yeah, I mean, I'll stick with what I said at the beginning of the season.
Green Bay over New England?
New England and the Packers.
And who wins?
New England.
Oh, New England. Three different Super Bowl winners. How fun is that? All right, playoff challenge. I am currently making my roster. I have three more players to select. So, again, you get eight transactions after the first week. There is a budget. Every player has a value. It's not exactly a dollar value. It's a unit value, and you have to fit it in. And you get to make eight substitutions after the first round of games. So as I finish out my lineup, who would like to go first and reveal their playoff challenge lineup?
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
But I just threw mine together.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Tony Romo, quarterback. DeMarco Murray, running back. Reggie Bush was my other one just because I needed somebody cheap. Dez at wide receiver. Can you tell where I'm going with most of my budget units?
I can.
LaFell is my number two receiver, waiting for him to play. And the fact that he's at 27 to me is nice and cheap. Witten at tight end. Graham Gano is my kicker because he's cheap. And the Seahawks defense, I'm taking them on the bye, and I am assuming that I will not have to replace them the entire postseason.
Cool.
So my worst case scenario is that Detroit upsets Dallas, in which case I would have one, two, three, four spots to replace in my lineup. My team's pretty much done if Dallas loses, but that's the game that I'm absolutely the most confident in. And so I'm going to ride with those guys, and I think they can make the NFC Championship game, so I'm sticking with them for a while.
Okay, sorry. Jamie, go ahead. I'm almost done here.
I'm going with Roethlisberger, Jeremy Hill, and DeMarco Murray because I think those two running backs are going to be amazing in the first round and potentially in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Dez Bryant and Martavis Bryant, the Bryant combo. The first two spots that I went to were Greg Olsen because I think they win the game, and I think he has a monster performance against the Cardinals in week one.
It's a good call.
And then the Panthers DST because I think you get two games out of them. I'll take the chance of them struggling in the second game knowing I have to replace them at Seattle, but I think they also will be dominant in that first game because of Ryan Lindley.
How is Olsen cheaper than Witten? Is it just because Carolina might not play as long as Dallas? Maybe that's part of the reason why?
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm going to switch it out and put Olsen in there. Save a buck.
Okay.
Look at me, saving a dollar. My wife would be proud.
Sorry, I'm just finishing up here.
Well, what are you debating?
Here's what I'm debating. Going with my heart or going with my brain?
Oh, dude, always go with your brain.
Well, I think I might do two entries because I'm going to do one that has sort of my Super Bowl predictions in there and my upset picks and whatever, and then I'm going to do one where I think it's more logical. But here's what I have right now. I have Romo, C.J. Anderson, Jonathan Stewart, T.Y. Hilton, Randall Cobb, Owen Daniels, Graham Gano, and the Cardinals. Oh, no. That's supposed to be the Panthers. Yeah, the Panthers DST. And now I have nine units left.
Mm-hmm.
So Romo, C.J. Anderson, Jonathan Stewart, T.Y. Hilton, Randall Cobb, Owen Daniels, Graham Gano, and the Panthers.
I have a philosophical question for you.
Yeah.
You're going to go with the Panthers this week. Makes perfect sense. They should be able to get by Arizona. How comfortable would you be starting them at Seattle or at Green Bay the following week?
I wouldn't change it.
You wouldn't change it, but I feel like it's not going to help. It's not going to give you that many points.
I disagree.
I'm banking on them going to Seattle.
Right. I think the point would be is that you get
2 weeks
the best
worth of
performance from Wild Card Weekend, and what they do over 2 weeks
is better than
is
what you
better
get from
than
Seattle
what you get
out
from
of
Seattle
over. Over there,
I got no issue with them going to Seattle. I don't think they get run over in Seattle.
I mean, look, they've been doing a great job in all aspects of turning people over, getting sacks, stopping the run. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if they forced Russell Wilson to a mistake or two. They're not going to win the game, but I think they could still play well enough that that two-week period without making a transaction, building the lead that you're going to get on the Seattle player, to me, I'll take that chance.
Everybody on this team I think we'll win a game, at least one game. So
I can't say that with mine because I've got one Lion amongst now three Cowboys.
See, that's the one thing I don't want to do, and I avoided it purposely, is I'm going with the teams that I believe are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So easily, the Colts could beat the Bengals. I mean, that's not a shock.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, with the Le'Veon Bell injury, the Ravens could beat the Steelers.
Why do you guys think – can I just bring one thing up about that Colts-Bengals game? What was the score the first time they played? It was something like 27-0. The Colts shut out the Bengals in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. You know who else shut out a team the first time they played? The Eagles shut out the Giants the first time they played. And what happened? Going into Week 17, everyone's picking the Giants. They're 2.5-point favorites. Hank Goldberg picked the Giants. Pete Prisco picked the Giants. Did you guys pick the Giants to cover?
Yes. Yep.
Even I thought the Giants were going to win the game. And then we found out the Giants still suck. They have been beating bad opponents the whole time. They lost at home
and
to the Eagles.
And this is when everybody says, oh, it turns into the Giants podcast.
And this is what I'm saying is going to happen to the Bengals. They're going to turn back to the Bengals on the road with Andy Dalton in an important game, and they're not going to win.
The thing that's changed for the Bengals since then is they found their running game. Because at that point, they weren't giving Jeremy Hill the work that they needed.
Indianapolis' run defense has been very good. Last week, they gave up a long run to Sean Green. But before that, they did very well against DeMarco Murray. I have the numbers here. Denard Robinson, 4 fantasy points. Alfred Morris, 7 fantasy points. Isaiah Crowell,
it's a murderer's row.
Arian Foster, 10. DeMarco Murray, 11 on 22 carries. You look at it, they have actually done better against the run.
They've been better. But so, I think Cincinnati's defense is better. I think their offensive line is better.
I think A.J. Green is banged up, and I think he's...
How's T.Y. Hilton?
They've been smart with them. They haven't played them. They haven't put them out there. They've rested them.
They didn't rest them in Week 17.
What did T.Y. Hilton do? I mean,
he didn't have a big game, but
he
played.
Three targets and no catches. Is he 100%?
He better be. He's in my playoff challenge lineup.
I think it's going to be a fun game. I think, look, I'm counting on the Bengals running on the Colts. And I haven't seen anybody stop Jeremy Hill yet.
They should be able to run him. I mean, look, the Broncos had a good run defense going to that game, and Jeremy Hill ate him up. And
well, their linebackers were
the Steelers, but the Steelers did too. The Steelers were doing well against
the run. He had 100 yards against them too.
So I understand he'll do fine.
And just think about it, though. May or may not have happened. Bengals, after the stupid fake punt by the Steelers, they're driving with the ball. A.J. Green fumbles. Then all of a sudden, Antonio Brown.
That's what the Bengals do. The Bengals choke.
They absolutely do.
A.J. Green drops passes.
They absolutely
do. A.J. Green fumbles. A.J. Green might have run the wrong route on that interception. Andy Dalton threw a terrible interception, that second one. I know it was off his fingertips, but that was a bad throw. That's what they do.
At some point, the narrative either changes or it stays the same. This could be the one time that it changes.
All right. I think the Colts are a very overrated team, but I still think they're good.
Who have they beaten this season that's good?
The Bengals?
Are they good?
The Ravens? You're picking them to win on the road.
I don't think either of these teams are good.
No, look, I think they're good. I just don't think they're
great. They're not
great. Yeah, I agree with you. I've been banging the Colts are overrated drum, but...
they play in the worst division
at
football.
Home against a team that sucks in the playoffs and sucks in big games. I like them. We'll see. Looking forward to next week's show.
What time's the game?
I think that is the late game, right?
Which one?
Oh, wait, no. That's the early
Saturday. It's the early daytime, Sunday game.
Daytime Andy shows up.
It's good.
He's like Days of Our Lives and Young and the Restless.
Yeah, I got to go.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.